What I also understand about organic matter and organic carbon is that one company says that it's to get to organic carbon, to get to from organic carbon to organic matter, you multiply organic carbon by 1.6, and another, that's few laboratories say that, and another laboratory says you multiply by 2. So in other words, organic matter is, well, 1.6 or 2 times more than the organic carbon. So I think that's where farmers, when they're looking at their soil test and they're looking at whether it's like 2% organic matter, that's really probably like 3.5. If you're looking at, say, 2% organic matter, it's really only about 1% organic carbon. Do you agree with that, Gerhard?
Well, again, it really is a case of, does it really matter? What does matter, to my thinking, and I think we can discuss the figures and get bogged down in the figures, that to me what is important is that you actually have a standard, whatever that may be, that you adopt, that you use on your own property, but then you follow that as a trend line rather than saying, I've got, 5% organic matter or 5% organic carbon, when the measures are so different. That's one of the major issues with the carbon sequestration or biosequestration of carbon in soils, that there is no agreed standard by which the measures are taken, and therefore, because there's no agreed standard, we can't actually pay people, and therefore we get bogged down on who's leading the way and what the baseline figures are going to be. Quite frankly, if you're showing an increase and whatever the measure was, and you've shown that you've increased it 10% or 20% or 120%, then that's where the repayment should be. It's just an arbitrary figure that's been taken. It's not absolute. It's the trend that is important, and maintaining that trend.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to humus, it's been stated that humus is a very complex material in the soil, and that there's no chemical equation ever written. Few people have tried on humus because it's so incredibly complex. How would you describe humus?
Well, humus is actually the byproduct of a biological process that's taken place after the material has had a chance to accumulate in the soil. The organic material has a chance to accumulate in the soil, and then it is converted into other forms of carbon. You've got so many different compounds of humic acids or fulvic acids in the soil, and other form of not just acids but just organic carbons there, that means that we have the ability to access those forms of carbon depending on what their role is in the soil and how that then becomes a stable form or a not so stable form depending on what the pressure is on the soil, whether the seasonal changes have an effect there and allow the gaseous discharge from the soil to then enable the oxygen to come in to replace it and then get the soil to become biologically active again. So there's a whole range of different things that are taking place in the soil that rely on the different forms of carbon, and humus is the most stable form based on the different humic acids that could be held in place of the organic form for up to thousands of years. The process of that converting that is all done through the soil microbiology. Nothing else can do that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Gerhard. So that's an area of expertise, the microbiology in the humus. So can you very briefly explain that in layman's terms, that the humus actually contains microbiology?
Well, the humus is microbiology. And it's the metabolites that form after the microorganisms that perform their roles in consuming or dealing with the organic matter that's been formed by way of trash or through trash or litter or by way of root growth in the soil that has been allowed to take place through photosynthesis, of course, and that the saps and sugars have then been translocated into the soil as well. So there's all sorts of different forms of carbon that are coming into the soil to support the microbiology, but at the same time, their role is to maintain a stable soil, one that will build fertility for today and for future periods, and create a buffer so that if you do have the seasonal fluctuations, that you have the ability for the soil to then allow a new renewed growth to take place after the disturbance or the extremes in weather have played their role in dealing with the environment.
So the humus actually would contain the bacteria and fungi, is that correct?
The humus would definitely contain the bacteria and fungi. And some of the higher life forms like your protozoa would also be involved in that. As they decay and start to break down and become viable, there's different forms of carbon as well.
Now, can you very briefly explain, like, the proportions of bacteria and fungi and, you know, that's for sort of different crops like grasses through to, what the importance of fungi and the bacteria are, or the proportions, mainly to explain the proportions rather than, that would be good if you can do that.
Well, the bacterial to fungal ratio is one scale that is used, which is very similar to the pH scale. We know that if you've got very highly bacterial conditions, that you will support the very simple plants like your mosses and lichens, and the bacteria are the only way that the mosses and lichens can in fact extract any food from the rock that they're attached to, because the bacteria will in fact break down that rock to create that food for them. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got the fungi in and around the base of old growth forests or your pine forests, your hardwood forests, and you always find quite a few different forms of fungi there. But they're the fruit that you see on the top of the soil there, but correspondingly you've got a huge mat or network of all different sorts of fungal hypha that support the forest from below and create the right conditions to allow those roots now to extract as much nutrient and water from the soil as possible. So at one end you've got, at the mosses and lichen end, you've got virtually pure bacterial there, so it's probably 0.01 to 1 part of bacterial fungal to bacterial ratio. At the other end, it's probably in the order of around about 100 to 1 fungal to bacterial ratio. And in between is where most of our agricultural enterprises are worked, and that's where we need to be looking at trying to, in the case of cropping land, from 0.5 to 1 fungal to bacterial ratio, through to grapevines and shrubs and so on, they're about 1 to 1 fungal to bacterial ratio. So we need to be aware that is another parameter that we can actually manage as soil managers, as farmers. We can manage to extract the best from the soil and plant and allow it to fully realise its potential. We would do that not in isolation. We would do that still correspondingly with nutrients and also the pH of the soil. And together we'd bring that with looking at the structure of the soil to make sure that the roots could, in fact, penetrate that medium that they're growing in and build that topsoil up.